We're gonna take a curve right now. I know the ushers. I forgot the offering. Who cares? We'll give it away. We've done that before. Pass it out. Said, here, it's God's anyway. We'll do that in just a minute. In fact, if you want to, well, no, just hold on. Just relax, guys. We'll do that later. I just feel like God's wanting to do some things as we kick off our life sentence. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I consider everything, I even brought my trophies here somewhere. I had my wife dig out some things. There's this and that. We couldn't even find the trophies. I said, where are my trophies? She said, they were in a box. I said, weren't they in the closet? She said, they were in the closet. I said, weren't they in a box in the closet? The dust. And so we found a couple. Because like Paul, you know, we have things. We have trash. You know, honestly, this doesn't matter. It mattered at the time. It seemed to make a huge difference. And they're great. There's nothing wrong with getting things like this. I mean, MVP of an all-star game or the United States Marine Corps presented me from the United States Congress a medal to honor me for working with them in their young people, which is great. But I had to dig these up. Not that I'm not proud of them, but Paul said, I can brag and boast. I'm a lawyer. I'm an attorney. I'm better than everybody else. When it comes to legalism, I keep the law better. I'm better than all you Christians. I'm a better Christian than you. I'm a better baseball player than you. The Army likes me more than you. And you know what he did? I was like, what are you saying? He said, really, honestly, would you catch that? A better ball player than me. Really? And he said, of all the things that I can brag and boast about, that's not my life sentence. That's not my universe, my single sentence. That's what it means, universe. Single universe. What is it? What is it that defines who I am? That doesn't define me. I thought baseball would be my entire life. I thought I'd play pros and do that and retire. And then God called me to be a pastor. And I thought, okay. And I thought I'd do this and that. I mean, there's things we can brag and boast about. I got a better car. I got a better house. I got a better this. I got a better that. And it all ends up in the same place. It doesn't matter what you do with those things to try to hold on to. He says, compared to Jesus and his surpassing glory, I consider all of this stuff poop. Your Bible says rubbish. I like the writers of the New International Version. Rubbish. That is not the Greek word. It's skubola. And it means human excrement. And I'll be kind. He says, I think all your stuff that you... We go and we pile ourselves in a trash heap and go, look, and then we brag about all this stuff. Look what I have. And then we fight with each other over it. And we get guns and people rob and you get security things and we build fences and we have locks on our door to keep people out of our trash heap that we boast in. And Paul said, poop. He just jumped into a pile. He says, I consider it all rubbish. Skubola. Crap. You're lying in a pile of poop. And we think, look at all that I have. No wonder why Isaiah said, all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. You should have come to last night or this morning service, I guess, if you wanted. I don't even know which one's going to go on the website, those of you listening at home. Yesterday I said, God, I have a great message. I have no introduction. And I did what I do on my Saturdays. I too, Susan came out. The women were having their meeting, and they were planning on just bringing the best to you ladies on Thursday nights. I was doing all my stuff to try to make sure our home life ministries will be just awesome for you guys. And I got on my bike, and I don't do it enough, but I got on there. I put my Pandora on, put my headphones on. I just took off for miles and miles and miles for a ride. And I'm going, and I'm just, and I got my worship on. I got my Jesus culture and my journey and my Boston and my Matt Redman. And trust me, there's something that's spiritual about all those, okay? A little boy born and raised in South Detroit, you know, a little journey goes along with. Woke up this morning, put on some music to start my day, Boston, and then right into I'll Worship You Forever. It works for me. And I'm in my world, riding my bike, and mile after mile after mile after mile, just saying, Lord, I love you. What a great day. What do you want to do with my life? And as I'm riding, I saw it on a sidewalk in Sanborn Park, a bike path. And I saw it, and the Lord said, turn around. There it is. So here it is. This is what I found. This is what I found. What is that? Well, you say an acorn. I had to stop because it's more than that. Years ago, I had a couple of these in my pocket. I use these in my leadership. And I was invited to go visit a girl 15 years old from church. Not my church, but she'd gone to church. She helped out with Sunday school. And one day she got on her school bus, took a knife, and she cut her bus driver's neck from ear to ear, sliced her throat. And she was in jail. She doesn't know why she did it. She doesn't remember a lot about it, but her life would forever be changed. And they invited me to come into the prison and speak to these juveniles that were in there in a high security detention. And I went in there, and I remember I had these acorns, and I wanted to give her one and tell her it's not an acorn. That's what the world sees. And the Lord told me to stop on my bicycle that day, yesterday, and I picked it up and I put it in my pocket. He said, there it is. There's so much more. And Paul says, compared to, because this is what we see in this world. And he says, no, compared to. And I went in and I talked to these young people, and I met this tall young African-American, and he was in for murder. He was 17. He was going to be tried as an adult and spend the rest of his life in jail. And I told him, I said, do you know within this is a thing called entelechy? Entelechy is the design, the DNA, that every branch, every leaf, every knot, every piece of bark is already designed. It just needs to be planted. And it's already there, a mighty oak. And I said, do you know your life has a design and a plan? And as I'm sharing this with them, they didn't let me take these in with me. I wanted to leave them for them. And I had mine with me, but I couldn't leave anything at the jail with any of the students. And the young man came up to me afterwards with tears in his face, and he looked at me and says, I know you don't know me, but could I have one of those? I said, I'm sorry, you can't. I said, but I want you to know God has a plan for your life. It isn't over. He's greater, and he's far bigger than anything you could ever imagine. And so I walked out feeling kind of defeated, thinking, oh, I wish I could. And as I'm getting my stuff out of my security box at the front desk, my watch and my wallet and everything else, I said, hey, does everybody have one of those? Yeah. When and if they're ever released, they'll get that. I said, could you put something in these two people's boxes for me? Sure, what do you need, Pastor? I said, would you put these acorns in their boxes? I don't know how many years from now. I don't know what it'll even mean to them. But when they get out, I want them to know that just because you have prison walls, just because you have boundaries, God can work outside of those boundaries. And so there I was yesterday. I got off my bicycle, and I got down, and I started digging these things up. And I started digging them up just one by one, and I couldn't help it. I just had to keep grabbing them. And this isn't all of them. I just kept grabbing them thinking, I wonder who needs a reminder in their life that God is more than they can see. And there's so much more in their life. I wonder who needs a reminder in their life today. You need a reminder in your life today that God has so much more for you. He does. He has so much more for you. And I won't, listen, I can tell you where you guys can go. Because there I was off my bicycle. I felt like a little kid as I was filling all of my pockets up, and I had no room left as I sat. And people were driving by probably looking, hey, oh, that poor young man, that poor old guy there. They probably looked and said, that poor old man, he must have lost his contacts. Look at him down there. And I felt like a little child going, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that my universe spins and revolves around something that is greater. My single sentence is like Paul in Philippians 1:21, when Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. My life has a single sentence, and it's all about God. I wonder where you're at today as you try to find your single sentence. I'm trying to find mine. And I think mine is this. I will do anything short of sin to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, to find a peace in their life, to find a change that is real. We're trying to sell peace in the church, and I think most church people are struggling to find peace. How can you sell the world something you don't have? Because our universe spins around things. We worry, we worry, we worry, we worry, we worry, we worry. Matthew 6:25, Jesus said to his disciples, Guys, you're worrying? Don't worry about your life. Just don't worry about what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. Life's more important than food, and the body's more important than clothes. Look at the birds outside. They don't sow or reap. Do we not have that? We do have that. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap in the barns or store away, and yet, guess what? None of them have a 401k. They're not working overtime. They don't have a job. They don't have a savings account. And your heavenly Father feeds every one of them. So why are you so worried? Well, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Why do you worry about your clothes? Nobody can add a single hour to his life by worrying. And why do you worry, he says, about your clothing? And then he goes on and talks about these flowers outside. All these lilies that grow, they don't labor, they don't spin, they're not making clothes, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his beauty and all of his splendor was dressed like a single flower. And if that's how God clothes the flowers of the field that are here today and tomorrow, they're thrown into your bonfire. How much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Then he says this, stop worrying. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? And he uses this word, for the pagans do this. Do you know what a pagan is? A pagan is a person who says there's no such thing as God. In fact, we just kind of evolved as humans. We're animals, and there's no intelligent being. There's nothing in charge of this world. There's nothing outside of me. A pagan, that's the definition. There's a new book out called Pagan Christianity, and it says Christians, they may call on God, but they live their lives as though there were no God in their life. They worry just like everybody else. They're just stressed out. Their whole universe spins. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do about tomorrow? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And God says, stop. Trust me. And then he says this. Here's the answer. In verse 33, he says, but you believer in God, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you as well. You know what we do? Don't we seek all the other things first? How will I fix this? How will I fix this? How will I do this? How will I do this? I had a trifecta on Thursday. We're editing these videos, and my wife called. She says, the washer, our clothes washer's broken. I said, that front end loader, that beautiful front end loader wash that we bought with the dryer, it's broken. She goes, yeah, I called. It's going to be X amount of money to have someone even look at it before they even fix. I said, our things are broken and we don't have the green things to fix the other things. And then I said, I need to just go out and mow my lawn. I got on the tractor. Well, I didn't get on our tractor, our Craftsman. I pushed it to the front yard where I then push it around to the driveway, where I then open the hood to the vehicle. Then I grab the jumper cables and jump start like I've done for 12 years of our Craftsman. Because that's what, you can't steal my Craftsman. Well, you can, but you better bring a car and you better bring your own jumper cables. And it wouldn't do anything. And I said, this is the first time it's never done. It just boom and goes. And for an hour out there, I said, I can't even go have my meditation on my Craftsman. That's my time. I said, oh, that's it. I'm done. And she said, oh, and by the way, I got a price on the inner tie rod of the car is broken. I said, well, no problem. It's this much money. No, they said it's a Lincoln. So it's this much money. I said, you got to be kidding. That's a trifecta. So Friday, I'm working. I'm up in, we're doing editing of these videos for these life groups. I get a phone call, a text thing, and it's my wife. And she says, hey, I went down to the Maytag, man, got a party, gave me a tool and said, don't worry about it. Here, fix this. I fixed the washer. I said, that's awesome. I said, great, now you can do some laundry. I did not say that. I wasn't born yesterday. I said, that is awesome. And then she called me an hour later. She says, hey, guess what? I got the lawnmower going. I said, really? I got home. I said, you got the lawnmower going. What'd you do? She goes, I just did this and it just started right up for me. So I got home. I said, great, I'm going to mow the lawn. I got it out there. I hooked up the stuff to jump it again, just like she had done, and it didn't do anything. I said, it's broke. She goes, I don't understand that. I had it going when you were gone. She grabbed the cable. She did this, and she hooked it up, started it right up. I said, atta girl, why don't you climb under the Lincoln and replace that inner tie rod? You have the Midas touch. Things break. Things are things. And rust destroy our things. And moth eat our things. And thieves and people are trying to steal your things. And we're trying to hoard our things. And we lay in our pile of things. And God says, stop. Let your universe, your single sentence be something different. I want my single sentence to be like this. God, I want to seek you. For me to live is Christ. Because Christ is stronger and greater, and offers me peace. Peace that passes all understanding, to guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Paul's word in Philippians chapter 4. And how can you as a Christian walk in Christianity when you don't trust? See, it's not whether Jesus healed you. It's not whether Jesus changed your life. It's not whether Jesus was insufficient on the cross and said, sorry, I didn't get it all done for you. He did everything you need in your life today. The miracle you're looking for today, he's already done it. It's a matter of you now stepping into the faith that believe that God's done the miracle. That's what's waiting, your faith, not his. He's already done it. So my question is, what's your universe? A mighty oak. So yeah, yesterday an old man was sitting on a sidewalk at Sanborn Park, bench pressing tons of oak trees. Didn't know I had that kind of strength. Well, if Christ can walk on water, even greater things will you do. So right now I'm holding a forest in my hand. What are you doing today? All of a sudden, that weight of that tree isn't so heavy. Thank you, Jesus, that you are greater. So my universe is this. Greater things I can trust Jesus with. Because that mighty oak is the shelter I need. It's the cool breeze. It's the shade. It's the strength in my life. So God said, turn around on your bike. Stop spinning your wheels. Become like a child. And maybe be a little nutty and enjoy your faith. So here it is. I wonder who today would say, I believe in God, but I don't have any peace. Trusting in God is different than believing in God. Amen? Okay? Trusting in God is different. Because believing in God, even the devil believes in God, it doesn't change his circumstance. 86% of Americans believe in God. It doesn't change our circumstances. Only faith and trust in God will change your circumstance. So here it is. I'm going to invite everybody to stand right now. Please. Thank you. This is our benediction. Genesis 1:1 is our benediction. I meet people all the time on their bicycles going down the road. Life doesn't make sense. And God says, stop. And they'll find a Bible. They'll find a Bible like this in a hotel room, at their grandma's house, somewhere. And they'll go, hey, an acorn. I wonder what's inside. And you know what everybody does? They do this. They open it up and they start on page 1. And the most known verse is not verse 2 because people quit after verse 1. But everybody knows verse 1, right? Help me. In the... Stop. Right there. Let's do that again. In the beginning... There it is. There's my universe. When God created everything, the very universe, single sentence that you need in your life today is this. In the beginning, God. When I woke up yesterday, I got on my bike and I said, today, God, you and me, in the beginning of my day, there's God. In the situation with the car and the lawnmower and the front end loader, I wanted to worry, but it's like, why? What difference is that going to make? God's in control of the things of my life. because I'm just going to seek him, and he's going to add all these things unto you. See, that's the message of the cross. Seek me first. Get vertical. And all these things will be added to you as well. He gave me a great wife. That's the horizontal in my life because I sought him. He gave me a mechanical wife. If you need your car fixed, you can call three. No, anyway. In the beginning of my marriage, God. In the beginning of my family, God. In the beginning of my day, God. In the beginning, my universe, in the beginning, God. Can you trust him? I'm going to invite you, just like I did in the other service, if you want to come down and say, you know what? God's already done the work. I'm going to trust him for it. I'm going to surrender and trust God. I believe in him, but I need to trust him. And I'm going to put my trust in him this morning. I'm going to invite you to come down. I want to pray over you as we close out this service. If that's you, I'd love to pray over you just to say, I'm surrendering that. I'm trusting God. I'm going to make that my universe. You can do it where you're at. You can come forward. Because why come forward? Because I'm going to make a declaration that my life is going to be greater because of my trust being greater. Surrendering your life. Oh, just like the other service, surrendering your life. Surrendering. There's a word that we don't hear anymore. We have people saying, take it up. Grab it. Do it yourself. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Can I tell you something? Good luck with the garbage in that one. Because even millionaires go broke. Even the strong lose their muscles. And even those in power are humbled. It's amazing. I read something this week that said every nation in the world, no matter how evil the leader is, has been taken down. But God still remains. Are you ready to trust? Let's pray this prayer. Dear God, I give you my life, and I trust in you. Increase my faith. Show me more. So today, I surrender. God, fill me up with faith to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.